Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, September the 12th. After a few days of rain, we've got lots of sunshine today. I went out for a little bit about an hour or so ago, and it feels very humid. It feels very warm. It feels like summer is still here, and I guess it's going to be technically here for another 10 days or so. Today we're going to talk about this incredible situation in the United States where you seem to have two countries. One country is nothing but bad news about Trump, and then the other country seems to be enjoying the presidency of Donald Trump. And it's amazing to me how if you watch one channel, if you watch another channel, it's like you're watching two different countries. I don't remember any time that we had anything like that in the past. But it's truly, truly amazing. We're also going to talk a little bit about polls and samples and voters. One of the things that is happening in the country right now is that you're seeing just about a different poll just about every day. When I was growing up, it was like, not even when I was growing up, 20 years ago, you had maybe the Gallup, the Harris poll, maybe another one. But it seems like today everybody's got a poll, and everybody's got a different poll every single day. And I'm going to give you a few tips on how to interpret polls, because I've learned this the hard way. But I took the time. To chat with various pollsters, and that's one of the reasons why I think I understand polls, and one of the reasons why I like to share with you a little bit of information. Well, I want to begin with a couple of big stories. The first one is, of course, down in Brazil, where you have a presidential candidate who was stabbed, literally stabbed, very seriously. He lost a lot of blood on the way to the hospital. He was probably very lucky that they got him to the hospital just in time. But he's recovering. I'm talking about the president, presidential candidate, I should say, Jair Bolsonaro, down in Brazil, and he's at the moment apparently leading in the polls. Now, whether he's going to win or not, maybe this is a sympathy vote, I don't know. But Bolsonaro has been very well known. In fact, they call him the Brazilian Trump, and that's because of the outspokenness and how critical he's been of the political class. He also accuses a lot of the media of fake news. So he tends to be using a lot of the Trump playbook down in Brazil. Whether he wins or not, I don't know. The election is going to be, I think, in the middle of October, so we got some time. But he has clearly shaken up, literally, the political situation in Brazil, and we'll see how that goes. Another big story, this broke this morning, and this has to do with political correctness. I mean, political correctness is killing us. I just don't know how else to say it. It's dividing us. It's killing us. Because political correctness is shaking up the things that we believed in. You know, there was a time in the United States, not long ago, where we had certain common beliefs. We may disagree about the minimum wage or whether or not to go to war, but there's a certain common set of things that we believed in. Well, political correctness is challenging all of that. And the latest example is this idea, I guess it's in Central Texas. I don't know specifically where, but it's not here in North Texas. I think it's around the Austin area, where they've decided to redo the school curriculum here in Texas and basically do away with some of the patriotic things about the Alamo. And a lot of people are asking, wait a minute, why are you doing that? Well, we just, we don't want to give students, some idiotic answer. They don't really have an answer. They just don't like the United States. It's the only answer they have. Well, the Alamo is a big part of Texas. I mean, I came to Texas as an adult, and I can tell you that the Alamo is a big part of the history of Texas. This is the Alamo is where Texas basically was born. Now, I understand the Mexicans have a different point of view. I get that. I understand that. A lot of times in history, that tends to happen. You know, one side writes a story, the other side writes a different story. I understand that. But as far as Texas is concerned, the Alamo is a big deal. If you're from Texas, you understand the Alamo, and you see the Alamo as a great birthplace of Texas, the Texas that we now know that was originally a republic and then became a state. So they want to redo all of this, and why they want to do it, again, they don't really have a logical answer. They tell you, well, we don't want to have all these references to patriotism. And, you know, translation, the best way to translate it is we don't like the history of the United States and we want to change it. Well, you don't get to do that, okay? You don't get to do that. You don't get to change the history of the country just because you don't like it or just because you think that maybe there were too many white guys who were fighting for Texas and whatever it was. That's not the way it is. The Alamo is part of Texas. It's part of the Texas history. And I'm happy to see that this is going to become an issue in the campaign. The governor is making it an issue. And I'm hoping that Ted Cruz will make it an issue against Robert O'Rourke. And we'll have an issue and we'll have a debate about this if Robert O'Rourke ever decides to debate Senator Cruz. But I think we need a debate about this because I think the overwhelming majority of Texans are perfectly okay with the story of the Alamo. They don't see it as anything other than the struggle of a free people who wanted to be independent. And for people to want to change that, I just think that it's just ugly. I don't know why they keep doing this. They want to change everything. They want to undo every one of our traditional values, our traditional upbringing. And no, that's just, you don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that unilaterally. So I guess here in Texas, we're going to have a big debate about this. And of course, the Alamo haters are going to lose because the majority of Texans will support this. But this is what political correctness is doing to us, folks. It's just killing us. It's absolutely killing us. And I think it's about time, frankly, I think it's about time that these people were challenged. And I'm glad to see, I'm delighted to see that the governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, is going right at them and saying, no, you're not going to get away. Good job, Governor. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes.
This is Carlos Geddes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have all of that information on the show description. Right under the show description, you can see the link to Carlo's website, and you can follow him around the Dallas area. Well, we remember today Barry White, who was extremely popular back in the 70s and 80s. He had that great deep voice, and he just I guess he was kind of a disco, kind of in the era of disco, but I think he was more than disco. I think he was a pretty talented musician all around, singer all around, great voice. That's what I always remember about him. Great voice. He was born on this day in 1943. He passed away in 2002. He was born in Galveston, Texas. Who would have thought that one of the great figures of the disco era would have been born in Galveston, Texas? And on this day in 1953, John F. Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev had a pretty good day, even though, of course, they had never met. On this day in 1953, John F. Kennedy, a young senator at the time, married Jackie, and they were married in Rhode Island, apparently a very pretty ceremony. So JFK and Jackie were married on this day in 1953. Over in Moscow on this day, Nikita Khrushchev became the head of the USSR. You know, Stalin passed away, and I think for a while there wasn't anybody for about a year or so. And then Nikita Khrushchev took over the Soviet Union, and he was the head of the Soviet Union until 1964. He was heading the Soviet Union, of course, during the missile crisis. So these two men who had something to celebrate on this day in 1953, a wedding for Kennedy and a new job for Nikita Khrushchev, these two men met again years later when they were the leaders of their respective countries. Let's talk a little bit about what is happening in the United States that is fascinating to me, because I don't ever recall a time like this. You seem to have two countries. One country totally, completely obsessed with everything anti-Trump. They just cannot get enough anti-Trump. I mean, it's like everything is anti-Trump. And of course, a lot of it really coming out in the news media like CNN and MSNBC, it's just constantly anti-Trump. They're always looking for the negative angle. They're always looking for the bad angle. Everything is negative about Trump. And then you have the other country where the unemployment rate is extremely low, where the GDP is now growing at 4%, something we have not seen in a long time, where wages are up. There was a story today that middle-class wages are up. And there was recently a survey of small businesses where something like the majority, a significant majority of small business owners believe that this is the best political or the best economic landscape for small business in 40 years. And, you know, we talked about some economic numbers a few days ago. I mean, the economic numbers in the United States are looking very good. There's no other way to explain it. They're looking very, very good. In fact, they're looking so good that President Obama is now back in the arena, and he's saying, hey, folks, this is all because of me. I'm the one who set the table for all of this. The Democrats have basically adopted the strategy. The economy's great, but Trump had nothing to do with it. It's all Obama's economy. It just, you know, Obama did it. Well, of course, that's silly. I mean, you don't, 18 months after you left the White House, you don't get to say that you did it, but, you know, I understand the politics of it. But the bottom line is that you seem to have two countries. One is obsessed with Trump, and the other one just seems to be enjoying the economy and having a good time and all of that. And yet, these two countries don't talk to each other, it seems like. They don't even watch the same news. When they get together, they have nothing in common to talk about because one person just wants to hate Trump and the other person wants to talk about how well the economy is doing. We just seem to have no communication at all. And it's really bizarre. I don't think I've ever seen that before in the United States. We've been divided before, but for some reason, I've just never seen anything like this before. So somewhere along the line, these two countries are going to have to become one again. Or I don't know how in the world we're going to make it with such divisions and polarization in the country. Well, one of the things that I think all of us do, of course, as we follow the news, as being news junkies, is that we follow polls. And there seems to be a poll right now for everything. I mean, there's a poll. Every organization seems to have one. Every day there's a new organization with a poll. We got used to some of the names, but it seems like every day there's a new one out there. And, you know, for me, it's very confusing to follow these polls because you have to ask yourself, well, who do I believe? I mean, who's telling me the truth? So I'm going to give you a couple of tips so that you can I think if you follow this, you're going to feel a lot better with some of the polling data. There's two parts to a poll. The first one, of course, is the sample. They try to come up with a sample that represents the country. Usually the bigger the better, because the bigger the sample is, the smaller the margin of error would be. But, you know, a sample between, let's say, 500 is probably too small, but maybe a sample between 700 and 1,000 is probably a better sample. Rasmussen, for example, they do their samples are sometimes as much as 2,500, which is a pretty good number. And then when you look at the sample and when you look at the poll, you have to ask yourself, okay, they've put together a sample. What voters are these polls talking to? And there's three kinds of voters, or three kinds of polls. The first one is all adults. The second one is registered voters, and the third one is likely voters. Well, any poll based on all adults is pretty much worthless for the simple reason that half of those adults are not even going to vote. I mean, they don't vote, period. And two-thirds of them don't even vote on midterms. So any poll based on adults is not a very valuable bit of information. Registered voters is better than adults, but even registered voters do not always vote. In fact, half of the registered voters voted on Election Day for president. So again, registered voters has some problems as well. So really the best one is likely voters, because those are voters who have already voted and have said to the pollster that they're likely to vote, and they're likely to vote because they've already voted. That one is more complicated to do, more expensive to do. It takes a lot more time, which is why they don't do them, why many of the pollsters don't do it. So the next time you look at a poll, anything based on adults, I wouldn't pay attention to it. Registered voters, a little bit better. Likely voters, those are the polls that you want to pay attention to, because those are the ones, frankly, that are going to give you better information about or they're going to give you a more representative information, or more representative sample, I should say, who is likely to vote in November in the elections. Just keep an eye on all those things. Keep an eye on all those things when you're looking at these polls. Well, we had a lot to talk about, but it's over. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.